welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 59 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Rod Giltacka. Thanks for joining me today. Today on the podcast, I'm going to give you guys a couple of updates, a couple of comments, and also an interview with my friend DJ, also known as Yukon Strong, on Twitter. So stay tuned for that. All that and more right after this. Hey, everybody, this is Rod from the CCFR. In 4.5 years, we've created the most sophisticated and influential firearm rights organization in Canadian history. And when I say we, I mean our team and all of you who have trusted and supported us financially and as volunteers. Together, we've produced television shows, made our presence very well known on Parliament Hill, and taken on the anti-gun establishment as never before. We are in unprecedented times in Canada and around the world. Our goal is to continue to develop the CCFR into an even more formidable organization to better fight for your right to own and use firearms when stability returns. If you can afford it, please continue to support the CCFR by keeping your membership current and/or donating. If you are unemployed, do not do these things. We are an organization with values, and family comes first. If you're in this situation and you still want to support the CCFR, do it by sharing our explainer videos, the podcast, our reports, or our TV show, which is now available for free online on the CCFR YouTube channel. We can come out of this stronger than ever. Look after yourself, your family, and your community. And thank you for supporting the CCFR in any way that works for you. All right, we're back. So what I wanted to do for a CCFR update today was actually just to tell you, just to share with you guys the evolving direction that the CCFR is going in, given our new reality. So for once, I was ahead of the game. I was actually keeping an eye on the coronavirus thing in mid-January, right when it started, and kept close tabs on it all the way through. And personally, I was prepared in early February for this thing. And now I know that a lot of people out there have differing opinions on the coronavirus, its origins, its purpose, you know, what's going on, who's involved. And there's a lot of theories out there. And, you know, I don't want to get into that stuff. Just to say, I think we can all agree you don't want to get it. And so I was taking countermeasures personally to make sure I didn't get it. I'm getting old, right? And I don't want to be on a ventilator, that's for sure. But what's even equally as important is that the CCFR is poised to thrive and to grow even in times like these. And that's my job at the CCFR, to make sure that we're ahead of the game and to make sure that that we can still accomplish our mission. So I wanted to share with you kind of the changing direction. Now, obviously, the CCFR isn't going to be doing any shows, no events, no travel, no personal lobbying, like, you know, in-person lobbying. There's a lot of things that we can't do. And as far as spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on mainstream media ads and whatnot for our education campaign, you know, gun control is not on the front burner right now. It's the survival of the economy and survival of people that's on the front burner right now. And as it should be. So, unfortunately, that hasn't stopped our political adversaries from running its divisive rhetoric, which they're still doing. Just even today, the Christopher Hallcroft over at the Spin Docs is still trying to divide us and villainize gun owners. And we're all bad and we're all part of the NRA. Just unbelievable. Just terrible, terrible people. Anyway, nonetheless, I wanted to share what we're going to be doing. So the idea, the changing mission of the CCFR is not so much to execute our national education program right now, is to really do a couple of things. One, we want to weather this storm. We can't, you know, the CCFR has to continue to exist. And I'm counting on our fundraising efforts yielding about 80% less funds in the next, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 months, and making sure that the CCFR can survive that. But not only survive it, but actually come out of it a far more formidable organization than before. And that is absolutely possible, because there's a lot of work that we didn't have time to do because we were involved in so many things. We had our hands into so many different things that you know, we just didn't have the time to do detailed work on a few items. So now we are going to have that time. So the CCFR, I kind of went down the list of things we're spending money on, slashed everything I possibly could. And we're going into a lean burn right now. And we're going to stay that way until we come out the other side. You know, I don't think things are ever going to be normal again, but we'll have a new normal. And that new normal, I'm hoping that the world will be so secure and so stable again that the anti-gunners will have the luxury of worrying about what other people are doing in their own homes and out in the bush, right? So, you know, it's good news, bad news, right? If they're worried about that stuff and they got the time and effort to put into that again, you know that everything's okay and they don't have to worry about their own survival again. So the idea is we want to be better than ever when that happens, if and when that happens, right? So part of that is we're going to continue to do the things that we can do, you know, that don't require personal interaction. So we'll still be available for media appearances. We're still going to work hard every single day. That's how the CCFR became the CCFR in such a short period of time, is because we work every single day doing things that are valuable for gun owners every day, all year long. So that's going to continue. So we're going to finish the gundebate.ca website. Look forward to that in the next couple of weeks. I've got a couple of ideas to make it even better than I was going to make it because I was under time pressure. So now I'll have a little bit of extra time. So I want to get those things done. So, you know, it's going to take an extra couple of weeks, but I think it's going to be worth it. You're also going to get a podcast every single week, right? We want to keep our community engaged and entertained and just feel like you have a sense of community, even if you're isolating. I've been isolating for about 3.5 weeks myself. So, you know, I'm used to it because I've been working from home for 20 years, but a lot of people haven't been doing that. So we want to make sure that they got something to listen to. So as you also know, we're going to be uploading episodes of the CCFR's Canada Downrange every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern. So look forward to a new episode every single week, and that's going to go for another 24 weeks. So let me just give you a couple of details on that right now. So right now we're uploading season one. A couple people have made comments. Some people are really liking it, you know, and it's good, you know, don't get me wrong. It's better than kind of your typical YouTube content. But a couple of people made mention of this scratchy effect that's on the video. And, you know, when we were doing season one, no one had ever done a show like this. We are all improvising and we were trying to do it on a very strict budget. And one of the things that happened was we had some problems with the video, the actual captured video at some of these events. And when I first saw the first edits and there was all this scratchy effect on the screen, I talked to the producer and I was like, hey man, what's this? This is getting old fast. You know, why are we using that? And he's like, because we had some damaged video. We don't have any choice. I'm like, oh, all right. You know, the show must go on, right? So unfortunately, you're gonna have to see that effect a little bit throughout season one. Season one's gonna run out sometime at the end of May-ish. And then in June, you'll have season two coming out. And season two is beautiful. It is just as good. If you haven't seen it, it's just as good as anything you'd see on Discovery Channel. So it's just fantastic. So I'm excited for you to see that. But there's a lot of good material and a lot of good episodes in season one as well. So check that out. That is available free online on our YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube, search CCFR channel, and you'll find it. I'm starting to put those episodes into a playlist. So if you want to watch them all, binge watch them, you can do that as well. Next thing, we will also be producing a couple of new commercials. So we did some sponsorships. We sponsored three different shows. I shouldn't say that. We sponsored two shows and we have our own show on Sports and Channel Canada. And when you're a sponsor like that, you can change your commercials. So I'm going to have the time, which I didn't before, to actually film a couple of different commercials and put a couple different commercials together to use those spots, because we're paid through all the way through to the end of this year. And we're going to use them to spread our message and to just activate gun owners. So I'll be doing some of that. Also, we will be doing some online lobbying. So Tracy Wilson has already done one online lobbying activity. And she said it's great and it actually saves a lot of time and expense, because if you've ever gone to Parliament Hill and had a meeting with an MP or a senator or whoever, it's quite a process to find parking, walk to Parliament Hill, take all your stuff off like the airport, run it all through the machines, sometimes you get a little pat down, then you get all your stuff, then you got to go get a pass, then you got to find the room, and it's a bit of a hassle. So it's actually quite a bit more efficient. So we will continue to lobby on your behalf as well throughout this whole thing. We've got an ATIP project that we've done, submitted a whole pile of ATIPs for a variety of different reasons. I wouldn't count on the government clearing those anytime soon. They have other priorities, obviously, but that's been done and is sitting there aging as we speak. And then we've got a couple of studies still. We've got the suicide study and the straw purchasing study. Well, I shouldn't call them studies. I should call them reports. And it looks like I'll have to complete those two reports, but you know, look forward to those in the coming months as well. So there's a lot of stuff that we're working on. We're also working on some other educational tools in the form of videos. And we're also looking at maybe doing some more explainer videos. So a lot of that work, I didn't have a lot of time to do. And hopefully now I will. So all that to say, so this is where all this is going, is that when we emerge on the other side of this thing, like I said, 6-8 months, whatever it is, we will actually have far more tools, educational tools. We'll have far more ammunition in the magazine, as if you want to put it that way, to execute our mission. And we're going to do an even better job of it. So I think I've covered everything. I'm going to leave it there for now. And when we come back, we're going to have an interview with my friend DJ, also known as Yukon Strong on Twitter. Stay tuned for that.
Once you lose rights, it's nearly impossible to get them back. Right now, there are politicians and bureaucrats working day and night to eliminate your ability to own and use firearms in Canada. They're talking about not allowing you to keep your firearms at home and even taking away the ones you already have. It's not a joke. It's not an exaggeration. Activism is a lot of work, and most people don't have the time. But something that you can do is support the CCFR. For $40 a year, you can be a part of the hardest working firearm organization in Canada and get $5 million worth of insurance. The CCFR lobbies government and works to improve the public image of gun owners through media and educational campaigns. Protect your own ability to own and use firearms before it's too late. Go to firearmrights.ca and click Why Join. That's firearmrights.ca.
All right, on the Skype, I've got my friend DJ from up in the Yukon. You may know him from Twitter as Yukon Strong. He's also on Facebook. How's it going, DJ?
Hello, Rod. I am so happy to be here. Thank you, sir.
Wow. I'm flattered.
Yeah, I got to say something. So I work in a lot of remote communities around the Yukon. So I spend a lot of time driving, right? And the CCFR podcast is like my favorite thing. I save it up literally when I'm in town. So I haven't even listened to the last couple episodes you put out, because when I'm on the highway, it's all I got to listen to. So it's like, it's really kind of surreal for me, because now I'm going to be listening to myself on the next trip here. So I'm really excited. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks for coming on. So yeah, I originally came across you on Twitter. You're out there fighting the battle in the world's toilet bowl, which is Twitter. And you've came to our attention because you've made some great gun videos. You've kind of taken up the banner on, you know, fighting for some common sense in the gun conversation. How did you get started on Twitter?
Well, to be honest, I started because I was going to start putting a bunch of my photography out there. I have a really large archive of some incredible photos. People have been pressuring me for years to sort of put it out there. My plan was to, start out just a simple blog thing or whatever you call it on Twitter, and just put out photos and maybe start selling them or something. I don't know. And I quickly found out that there was some, how would you say it, some dynamics occurring on Twitter. I started noticing some patterns, behavior, people pushing some really dangerous ideas. And, you know, that combined with our government currently, it just, I snapped one day. I said, that enough's enough. Somebody's got to say something. And here I am. So.
Well, you've been doing a good job. You made quite a few pretty popular videos there.
Yeah, I think why people like, well, not everybody likes what I have to say, of course, but I think I do resonate with a lot of folks because I say what I think, you know, and there's a real hunger in Canada right now for people to just tell us the truth, our government, our politician, our media, just 24/7. They won't even answer the question anymore, you know, and some of our issues in this country, you know, guns in particular, they're it's such an easily solvable problem, you know, and yet it just can't seem to happen. Like the very first step to resolving these issues just doesn't seem to ever take place. And it's used to more or less scare people into voting how the powers that be want, you know. So I try to remind people that we aren't all enemies, you know, that you and I, we're going to have to share this country no matter where we align on the political spectrum. And that if we, you know, try and stop getting on each other's back and start getting on the politicians' back, man, we could really make things better for everyone, I think. But it's, of course, you know, the other side isn't always so receptive, in my opinion, to that. It's, I've spent many an hour, you know, trying to convince and patiently handhold and say, listen, and whatever. It's a waste of time in many cases. And it's just simpler to put out a video, say my message, set the narrative that I want, and have people, you know, respond to what I'm saying, what I'm thinking, and provide them with ammunition to fight the battle. You know, that's why I do my statistics videos and stuff, so that they can just link that stuff and say, actually, no, what you're saying is a lie, more or less.
You know, so. Yeah, it's sometimes better just to put it out there and then let other people kick it around. But yeah, it's, you know, obviously what's driven you and what drives, you know, I think most gun owners, if they're on Twitter fighting that battle, is the fact that our political adversaries, they like to say things like there's no place in Canada for people like you and me.
Yeah.
You know, and then they talk about fear mongering and division, right? In fact, the spin docs were at it again today. Apparently it's the gun industry lobby that's fueling a sense of fear in the country right now. I'm like, I haven't even been on Twitter, you know, and
One of the things that really struck me, do you remember when they just got a bunch of money? I think it was from Airbnb, was it?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the biggest things that struck me about that is how when they received that check, they all showed up, they're wearing their lab coats. You know, that was a discussion that took place. Right now, maybe it was Airbnb. They said, hey, can you guys put on your doctor's stuff? Can you wear a stethoscope? You know, but I don't know about you, but I haven't been to a doctor's office in years where, you know, my healthcare practitioner was wearing that stuff. Usually they're just wearing normal clothes. They're literally dressing up in a costume to give themselves credibility in order to push their narrative. You know, and that really, it speaks volumes about the type of people they are, what they're willing to do to get their way. And, you know, even now in the middle of, you know, a global pandemic, our country's shutting down. What's their message? We need to take your guns. And I think they don't quite realize that people who are able to protect themselves, protect their families, provide and hunt for a way of life, they don't understand this concept. It's alien to them, and they don't get that we are not ever going to give up our firearms.
I think there's a lot of people that are seeing the value of owning a firearm now for a variety of reasons. I've certainly, you know, I've done a couple of interviews in the last couple of days, and I know the docs have been at it too. But you know, I've gotten a lot of calls as an instructor recently. It's a big uptick in calls. I don't usually take those calls, but somehow I think the Firearm Center is the one that's given out my number. But anyway, people call.
Awesome.
Hey, well, <That's> awesome. I try not to do that. But, you know, people and people that I know, acquaintances, not even close acquaintances, like people that know people that have gotten my number. And they're like, well, you know, can I get into a class? I'm like, I'm not teaching them anymore, man. I'm self-isolating. They're yeah. like, well, you know, can I find another course? I'm like, I don't know, maybe. I go, but, you know, and they're like, well, how fast can I get a license? And I'm like, dude, you're not getting a license because, and this was weeks ago, right? And I said, because the process takes 3 to 5 months and, you know, they're not even going to be doing any, they're not going to be processing applications a month from now. And sure enough, you know, I think it was yesterday or today, you know, Miramichi shut down. And so that gives me a little bit of hope, right? That, that people are seeing a little bit of, you know, people maybe that were on the fence are going, you know, I'd rather have a gun and not need it than to need it and not have it for whatever reason, whether it's predator defense, whether it's hunting, sport shooting, doing something exciting, because I've always wanted to do it, but I never took that step. Or maybe they're going like, I feel insecure. I think there's going to be an interruption in government services and I don't want to face murder, assault, or rape. How about that? And you know, it's interesting. These people, they, you just listen to their rhetoric, and I know you read it, right? But their rhetoric, it's like how objectionable they find it that someone would say, you know, I don't want to be killed, or I don't want to be assaulted or raped, or have my that happen to my family. And if I have to, I will intervene. And they find that to be the most objectionable thing they've ever heard.
The problem, I guess, is we can win all the factual wars we want, and their message, it's an emotional one, and they're trying to scare people, right? Like that's how our society is pretty much purely operating right now. It's on fear. And, you know, I do think a day, though, is going to come where they're going to have to start supporting their argument a little bit more, right? Like right now, they're just... It's all backdoor deals and stuff. And I have an article coming out here very soon in the post-millennial, hopefully here, highlighting how these backdoor deals are happening. It's been driving me nuts. I haven't been able to finish it for weeks now. Sooner or later, even like let's imagine even if they got their way, if they got a ban, like the gang crime's not just going to magically stop overnight, you know? And to all these folks out there, on these accounts, hiding anonymously, trolling everyone, pushing our politicians and creating fake pressure. That's what it is. That's their whole campaign is it's an attempt to create fake societal pressure, you know, to bully the politicians, bully people into doing things. It's going to collapse because the evidence isn't there. You know, they're going to have to show that this works, that what they're proposing will work. And if they get a ban and people are still getting killed in the streets of Toronto from gangbangers, well, every single one of those deaths is going to be on their shoulders because at that point, we're not going to have guns. It can't be your fault. Can't be my fault. It's going to be their fault.
Well, if people want to follow you, how do they do it?
Well, you can find me on Twitter. It's Yukon Strong on Twitter. I got a YouTube channel and a Facebook. It's all Yukon Strong on all three. And I mostly go on Twitter. My Facebook and my YouTube's kind of secondary. I just try to put out the more important messages, more important videos on there just to allow other people to share my content. Because some of my videos, you know, they're statistics and facts, and it's good ammunition when you're engaging in debate online. So that's kind of what I started with those. If anyone out there listening could please follow me on YouTube, I need to get 1,000 followers, but and then I can do a live stream. So that's kind of my next goal is to get my YouTube numbers up a bit. And if anyone wants to reach out to me, I leave my DMs wide open on all the platforms. You can just message me and I'll try and get to you when I can. I get quite a few messages all the time, all sorts of stuff. It's hard to keep up, but eventually I try to say hi to everybody I can.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for fighting the fight online, because that's where a great part of the war is. And keep up the great work.
Thank you, sir. And you guys too.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for episode 59 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. And if you've listen to the podcast before, you know that usually here at the end, I'll have a couple of parting comments. And then usually I say, you know, please consider becoming a member or donating to the CCFR. But you know what? These are, we're heading into some pretty tough times. And, you know, I've seen some political parties still fundraising, knowing full well there's a million or 2 million people that are sitting home from work and not getting paid. Like, unprecedented. This has never happened before in our generation. And I just, I realize people still have to fundraise, but I just find it to be a little bit tone deaf, a little bit insensitive. So my message to you now is, if you're still working, everything's, and you're still okay, yes, please consider renewing your membership if you're a member, to keep the CCFR going and to help us, even though we're not out there doing shows and stuff, but to keep growing and becoming a more formidable organization to advocate on your behalf when we reestablish our new normal, or donate if you possibly can. If you're out of work, don't worry about it. Worry about your family and worry about yourself right now, because that's more important. But if you want to contribute to the CCFR by spreading the links and talking about guns and the important, legitimate, good and sufficient reasons why we own firearms, and share the explainer videos and the studies, write the reports with people, tell people, hey, you want to see what gun owners are really like, what our community is really like, check out the CCFR's Canada Downrange on YouTube, which represents who we really are, just normal people, and we enjoy shooting guns, you know. You can do that kind of stuff and it costs you nothing. In fact, you can utilize some of your time at home to do that work. So, you know, again, if you can support us, that's great. If you can't, no problem. Hopefully we'll return to normal and you can get your membership back up to date at that time. And yeah, I just really appreciate the support, and I really want you guys to take care of yourselves. Okay, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.